for joining today. I welcome all of you once again. Thank you everyone for joining today's Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we have His Grace Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam from Canto 5, Chapter 8, Sloka 30 onwards. Before I hand over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji to have a brief introduction about Prabhuji. Mataji, you can please take over the call.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. You look so beautiful, Bhargavi. I'm sorry, I just had to say that. Okay. So beautiful and you're sorry. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Grace Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami. After completing engineering studies from University of Delhi and IIT Kharagpur, Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji gathered a few years of corporate work experience with an IT MNC in Mumbai. Thereafter, he decided to serve the society at large as a resident monk at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, ISKCON Chaupati, in Mumbai. For the last 12 years, he has been actively involved in sharing the essence of Vedic scriptures with others at a number of corporate, social, and educational enterprises. Back at the temple, Prabhuji also has the temple IT department and assists in youth outreach. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Mansaji, for the introduction. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna,
thank you so much for your association and giving your valuable time on this call today. So you can please take over, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuro Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvai Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vikantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Shri Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Saptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So welcome all the devotees who have assembled for this Srimad Bhagavatam class. And very much thankful to the organizers for giving me this opportunity to serve all the devotees today. So we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5th, Chapter 8. Text 38. This text is in a prose format, so maybe we'll not be able to recite it. I'll just read it out. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5th. Chapter 8, text 30. Iti evam nigudha nirvido visrijya mrigim mataram punar bhagavat chetram upasam shila munigaya daitam shal gramam pulasya pulahashramam kalanjarat pratyajagama. Word by word meanings, translation and purport by Divine Grace Lady Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The word to word meanings. Iti, thus, Evam, in this way, nigudha, hidden, nirvedaha, completely unattached to material activities, visrijya, giving up, mrigin, the deer, mataram, its mother, punaha, again, bhagavat kshetram, the place where the Supreme Lord is worshipped, upasamakshila, completely detached from all material attachments, Muni Gana Daitam, which is dear to the great saintly residents, Shalagramam, the village known as Shalagrama, Pulasya Pulaha Ashramam, to the ashrama conducted by such great sages as Pulasya and Pulaha, Kalanjarat, from the Kalanjara mountain where he had taken his birth in the womb of her dear, Pratyal Jagama, he came back. Translation. Although Bharat Maharaj received the body of a deer, by constant repentance, he became completely detached from material things. He did not disclose these things to anyone, but he left his mother deer in a place known as Kalanjara Mountain, where he was born. He again went to the forest of Shalagrama and to the ashram of Pulasya and Pulaha. It is significant that Maharaj Bharat, by the grace of Vasudeva, remembered his past life. He did not waste a moment. He returned to Pulaha Ashram, to the village known as Shalagrama. Association is very meaningful. Therefore, ISKCON tries to perfect one who enters the society. The members of this society should always remember that the society is not like a free hotel. All the members should be very careful to execute their spiritual duties, so that whoever comes will automatically become a devotee and will be able to return back to Godhead in this very life. Although Bharat Maharaj acquired the body of a deer, he again left his heart and home, in this case, the mountain Kalanjara. No one should be captivated by his birthplace and family. One should take shelter of the association of devotees and cultivate Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from this beautiful section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the episode of Bharat Maharaj. And I guess over the past several days, we have been reading of what has been happening up until now, how Maharaj Bharat, a very advanced soul, had left behind his kingdom and, you know, with a desire to progress on the path of Krishna consciousness, he was residing on the banks of Gandaki practicing his sadhana. And then Bhagavatam explains that how he happens to see a deer crossing the river, hearing the roar of a lion, and the deer has a miscarriage and the baby falls into the Gandaki river. And compassionate as Maharaj Bharat is, he picks up that small little child and starts taking care of it. But then, as providence would have it, he gets attached to that small little deer. And over a period of time, he compromises on his own spiritual practices. He lowers his own spiritual standards. And that's how, not just that, he starts to justify that as well. And one fine day when the deer is missing, he's completely absorbed in the thoughts of the deer. And being completely absorbed in the thoughts of the deer, he quits his body. And by the laws of nature, he once again gets the body of a deer. And we see this entire episode teaches us about it highlights about the attachment of Bharat Maharaj, the nature of material attachment, the avoidance of spiritual duties, and the acceptance of another body. And like Bhagavad Gita mentions, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tejante anta kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavitah, that whatever state of being one remembers while giving up this body, very same state he attains as the next body without fail, is what Krishna says to Arjuna in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And Srila Prabhupada, many a times he comments that by a deliberate disobedience of his spiritual practice, Bharat Maharaj, he got this short punishment. And this was kind of a punishment in a sense that it was not a reaction to his past fruitive activities. In the past few verses, we have been reading that. And the proof is that Bharat Maharaj, even in the body of a deer, he was able to remember his past life. He was able to clearly remember the mistake that he had committed. And that's how we'll see the last verse as well as this particular verse. Sukhdev Goswami is mentioning that how, having remembered his past deed, his past mistake, Bharat Maharaj, he was very much repentant. And this section of Srimad Bhagavatam highlights a case of sincere repentance on the part of Bharat Maharaj and the steps that he takes to rectify. Because sincere repentance is actually a symptom of an honest heart. And today in our discussion, let's spend some time discussing what are the results of such a sincere repentance, such as Bharat Maharaj is having here. Even in the form of a deer, he is remembering and he is recollecting, you know, what went wrong and how could things be rectified. So we'll spend some time on discussing what are these, what could be some of the results of a sincere repentance. Because needless to say, none of us are perfect here in our own spiritual practice, in our own dealings in this material world, in our own aspirations. Even all of us have our own shortcomings, have our own challenges that we face. And needless to say, we have our own baggage of past misdeeds and, you know, things that were not completely according to Shastric injunctions, according to the regulations of the scriptures. And therefore, it's our case too. It's not just a nice, beautiful story that's being narrated by Sukhdev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, the story of Bharat Maharaj. But then when we read, we find, you know, it has many parallels with our life as well. And therefore, if we can successfully draw those parallels, if we can successfully draw out those lessons and apply them to improve in our own spiritual practice, I guess that's what is the intent of Sukhdev Goswami in this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll be discussing these four results, consequences of sincere repentance on the part of the sadhaka, and what happens when there is a sincere repentance in the heart, when there is a recollection of, you know, how our misdeeds, you know, whatever we have done in the past, were not something that were pleasing to the Supreme Lord. And because of which, you know, we feel that we should be feeling that repentance, just like Bharat Maharaj is feeling here in the form of a deer. So the very first result, or the very first consequence of sincere repentance, is whenever from within the heart there is genuine repentance, when a sadhaka, he very genuinely admits his mistake, when a sadhaka very genuinely admits that yes, his sojourn here in this material world was not something that was planned by the Supreme Lord, but that was a mistake on his part solely. And therefore, when there is that sincere repentance, the very first thing that happens is it pleases the Supreme Lord. It attracts the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So this is the very first result of sincere repentance, that one is able to attract the mercy of the Supreme Lord. In the Mahabharata, there is this beautiful episode of Bhishma Dev. So as we know that Bhishma Dev, he has been fighting in the war of Kurukshetra. And, you know, he's like in his elements, as they say. And Krishna is compelled to, you know, charge at him with this wheel. And Bhishma Dev is like, you know, loving that scene. And not just that, after Bhishma Dev is harmed by the arrows of Arjuna, and Bhishmadev is lying on this bed of arrows, Mahabharata explains that how Bhishmadev also laments. And it is said, this is from the first canto, 9th chapter, 34th verse, the lamentation of Bhishmadev is brought forward, is commented by Shukadeva Goswami. And Bhishmadev is expressing here, on the battlefield where Sri Krishna attended Arjuna out of friendship, he's recollecting that vision of the Supreme Lord, and is saying the flowing hair of Lord Krishna turned ashen due to the dust raised by the hoofs of the horses. And because of his labor, beads of sweat wetted his face. All these decorations, intensified by the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows, were enjoyed by him. Let my mind thus go unto Sri Krishna. So, in one sense, Bhishmadev is lamenting that he had to shoot arrows at the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we know, Bhishmadev was, you know, although he was fighting on the behalf of the Kauravas from the side of Duryodhana, but still he had this devotion within his heart for Krishna. And therefore, lying on this bed of arrows, Bhishmadev is very much lamenting as to why did he shoot these arrows. And the Acharyas, they clarify the situation. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that Bhishmadev's piercing of the body of Lord Krishna is a sort of bewildering problem for the non-devotee atheist. But those who are devotees or liberated souls are not bewildered. And further on, Srila Prabhupada goes on to say that Bhishmadev appreciated the all-merciful attitude of the Lord because he did not leave Arjuna alone. Although he was disturbed by the sharpened arrows of Bhishmadev, nor was he reluctant to come before Bhishma's deathbed, even though he was ill-treated by him on the battlefield. Bhishma's repentance and the Lord's merciful attitude are both unique in this picture. So in this episode, we find that how Bhishmadev, by having this sincere repentance, although he was present in the, you know, at the in one corner of this battlefield, still because of this repentance within his heart, he managed to attract the attention of the Lord. And Sri Krishna, he came with all the Pandavas, with Yudhishthir Maharaj. Of course, the another reason is there that how, because Yudhishthir Maharaj had been feeling very guilty that because of him, so many people were made to die. But then just to pacify him and make him hear the instructions from Bhishmadev, Lord Krishna also brings the Pandavas with Yudhishthir Maharaj to Bhishmadev. And that's how Bhishmadev, he also becomes a recipient of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So it's not the action per se. It's not the action per se, but it's the feeling over and above the action which attracts the mercy of the Lord. We find Srila Narottam Das Thakur, he sings this beautiful bhajan, Hari Hari Vifale Janam Gavainu. And Srila Narottam Das is expressing, just like an ordinary sadhaka, he's expressing that how Janiya Suniya Vishikhainu, how he has knowingly drunk the poison of material enjoyment. And he highlights in this particular bhajan, he highlights these four mistakes. You know, of course, you know, acharyas like him are definitely on a much more elevated spiritual platform than any of us here. But then, you know, he's willing to come down to our platform and helping us understand our plea, helping us understand what is our situation and how should our prayers be, should be. And he's mentioning that how, you know, even as a spiritual practitioner in the past, I have knowingly drunk the poison of material enjoyment. Janiya Suniya Vishakhayanu. Material enjoyment is compared to as a poison which finishes off our spiritual identity, which finishes off our spiritual identification, let's say, not the spiritual identity, our spiritual identification. And it covers the spiritual relationship that we have with the Supreme Lord. And therefore, Narottam Das Thakur here is praying that, you know, I have made this mistake. I have made this mistake of knowingly tasting the poison of material enjoyment. And further on, he is lamenting that, you know, even after being introduced to the beautiful, you know, Premadhana, Goloka Premadhana, Harinama Sankirtana, even though I have been introduced to this beautiful wealth of the spiritual world, the Harinam Sankirtan, Rasina Janmi Loke Netaye, he is mentioning that even though I have these holy names with me, still I don't have an attachment for the holy name. I don't have a taste for chanting these holy names. And therefore, you know, I'm at fault. Further on, he says that not just that, I have failed to recognize the magnanimity of these beautiful incarnations of the Supreme Lord in Kali Yuga, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. The nature of their magnanimity, the nature of their, you know, compassion. And he says, Dina Hina Yata Chilo, Harinam Dharilo. You know, no matter, you know, what kind of persons that there were, you know, each of them got liberated. And the testimony to this is the life of Jagai and Madhai. Tara Sakshi Jagai Madhai. And he's expressing that I have failed to recognize the magnanimity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And therefore, I beg for his mercy. Ha ha Prabhu Nanda Suta Vrishabhanu Suta Yuta. He is pleading to the beautiful son of Maharaj Nanda, the beautiful consort of the daughter of Vrishabhanu. Kripa Koro Aibara, please have mercy upon me. Kripa Koro Aibara, you know, at least now, please have mercy upon me, because, you know, if it were not for your compassion, if, you know, other than your compassion, there is no hope for me. And therefore, you know, when there is the sincere lamentation on the part of the sadhaka, when there is this sincere prayer on the part of the sadhaka, that is what attracts the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And furthermore, we see that when there is sincere repentance, the very first thing that we saw, that because of sincere repentance, you know, it attracts the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And further on, whenever there is a sincere repentance in the heart of the sadhaka, in the future, going ahead, one is very much careful. One becomes extra careful. And it is said that repentance is not something to be dejected about, but it is something to be determined about. It is supposed to be, you know, one is supposed not to become dejected by repenting. Array, you know, I'm just a fallen case. I'm just a gone case. You know, I can't even narrate what all things I have done in the past, and, you know, what kind of sinful activities I have been into. And therefore, you know, really there is no hope for me. I am like, I am the, one time, one of the devotees, he mentioned to Srila Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, I am the most fallen person. I am the most fallen person in the entire creation. And Srila Prabhupada, he very promptly replied that, you are the most nothing. You know, because the most supreme, as long as, you know, whenever we mention that I am the most, that goes to show that, you know, through something, we are still trying to prove our superiority. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada very promptly replied that you can be the most nothing. We are just a struggling spiritual practitioner who have been here in this material world since time immemorial. But now there is an opportunity. And therefore, we refer to the case of Ajamil. In the section of Ajamil, the sixth canto describes that how Ajamil, when he is saved by the Vishnu Dutas, and the Vishnu Dutas, they find that Ajamil is now completely free from all his sinful, from the reactions of all his past sinful deeds, because of sincerely chanting and calling out the names of the Supreme Lord Narayan. You know, he is completely purified, and therefore he wants to speak out something. Now, the moment the Vishnu Dutas, they discover that Ajamil wants to speak out something, the Vishnu Dutas, they just disappear from there, giving Ajamil a chance to glorify the Supreme Lord. And this glorification of the Supreme Lord by Ajamil begins with his sincere repentance. And in a good 13 verses, you know, in 13 verses, Ajamil, he repents. We'll just read the translations of these 13 verses. Very, very instructive, actually. And so this is the sixth canto, second chapter, verses 26 to 38. So Ajamil says, "Alas, being a servant of my senses, how degraded I became. I fell down from my position as a duly qualified Brahmana and begot children in the womb of a prostitute. Alas, all condemnation upon me. I acted so sinfully that I degraded my family tradition. Indeed, I gave up my chaste and beautiful young wife to have sexual intercourse with a fallen prostitute accustomed to drinking wine. All condemnation upon me. My father and mother were old and had no other son or friend to look after them. Because I did not take care of them, they lived with great difficulty. Alas, like an abominable lower class man, I ungratefully left them in that condition. It is now clear that as a consequence of such activities, a sinful person like me must be thrown into hellish conditions meant for those who have broken religious principles and must therefore suffer extreme miseries. Was this a dream I saw, or was it a reality? I saw fearful men with ropes in their hands coming to arrest me and drag me away. Where have they gone? And where have those four liberated and very beautiful persons gone who released me from arrest and saved me from being dragged down to the hellish regions?" So this is his observation. This is his recollection. And this is what he's narrating his experiences up until now. But going ahead, he reflects on his character. Having reflected on his deeds, having reflected on his experiences, now he's reflecting on his character. And he's saying that, "I'm certainly most abominable and unfortunate to have merged in an ocean of sinful activities. But nevertheless, because of my previous spiritual activities, I could see those four exalted personalities who came to rescue me. Now I feel exceedingly happy because of their visit. Were it not for my past devotional service, how could I, a most unclean keeper of a prostitute, have gotten an opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikunthapati when I was just ready to die? Certainly it could not have been possible." Ajamil continued, "I am a shameless cheater who has killed his Brahminical culture. Indeed, I am sin personified. Where am I in comparison to all auspicious chanting of the holy name of Lord Narayan? I am such a sinful person, but since I have now gotten this opportunity, I must completely control my mind, life and senses, and always engage in devotional service so that I may not fall again into the deep darkness and ignorance of material life." So going ahead, there are a few more verses, but then we find that how Ajamil, he's sincerely repenting in these verses. And there are three things that Ajamil is being vocal about. He's remembering his mistakes. He's being repentant of his actions. And not just that, he's also resolving to set things right. And therefore, one of the results, one of the consequences of sincere repentance is that one doesn't become dejected. Instead, one becomes determined to set things right. And therefore, one doesn't repeat that same mistake. Like we hear the case of the spirit soul falling from the spiritual world, the jiva fall down, you know. And Krishna mentions in the Gita, the 15th chapter of Gita Purushottam Yoga, that how yad gatva na divartante tad dhamam paramam dham paramam mama. Krishna is speaking about the spiritual world. Having gone there, one doesn't come back again into the material world. And why is it so? Some people question that, you know, if it was so, you know, that why in the very beginning did the jiva come here? Yes, that was a mistake. But then once there is a sincere repentance, and once there is a resolve to set things right, And with that resolve, when one practices bhakti and when one remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead at the end of his giving up this body, antakale shamam eva smaran mukva kalevaram, yah prayati sammadbhavam, he is transferred to the state of the Supreme Lord himself. And that's how we see that one becomes extra careful when there is this sincere repentance within the heart. And yes, therefore, sometimes it's good to repeatedly remind ourselves of our own past to keep us humble, so that we remain humble, trinadapi sunichena, and we practice Krishna consciousness, we practice devotional service with that humility. You know, the moment we forget our own past, the moment we forget our own past misdeeds, we may tend to become proud. And Krishna, he doesn't love pride in the hearts of his devotees. And therefore, many times we fall into this trap of making others humble. We may be instructing others to become humble, thinking that maybe we already have become one. But then, you know, the moment we reflect back in our own lives, the moment we are aware of, you know, what we were before coming to Krishna consciousness, before having received the gifts from Srila Prabhupada, you know, that keeps us humble. And the same we see here in the case of Ajamil, that Ajamil is pondering on his past deeds, he's pondering on his character, and at the same time, he's determined to take steps. So therefore, the second consequence, the second result of sincere repentance is that one becomes extra careful in his practice of bhakti in the future. The third thing is, like we find here in Ajamil, in the case of Ajamil, he is very determined to set things right. And he goes to Haridwar, and that's how he gets his second chance, and he perfects his life in his second chance. So the third consequence, third result of sincere repentance is that one chalks out steps for rectification. And therefore, repentance should lead one to the steps of rectification. Repentance shouldn't make someone all the more negative, that I can't do anything, you know, there's no use, there is no hope for me. Many times people tend to repent so much that they fail to recognize the positive aspect out of it. You know, what am I meant to, you know, go from here? Yes, there has been a mistake. Yes, there, you know, things weren't appropriate up until now. Even while practicing Krishna consciousness, you may slip sometimes and feel bad about it, just like we see here in the case of Bharat Maharaj currently. So these case studies from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the case of Ajamil, the case of Bharat Maharaj, these cases are narrated in Srimad Bhagavatam to help us understand that there is hope for everyone. There is hope for everyone, even if someone is someone gets into such abominable activities as Ajamil, or even if someone is very elevated in his spiritual practice, but because of some momentary distraction and some deliberate disobedience for a short period of time, you know, one's spiritual progress is checked, but still there is hope. You know, these examples give us hope, provided that we are willing to improve. And therefore, we see here in the case of Bharat Maharaj that in his next life as a deer, he's repentant about it. And Bharat Maharaj, he's seeking the association. He wants to chalk out the steps for rectification. Yes, things went wrong the last time, but now what? You know, how can we also chalk our own steps for rectification? And we find these instructive steps being taken by Bharat Maharaj. He's taking these four very, very instructive steps. And it says that Bharat Maharaj, having translation mentions that by constant repentance, Bharat Maharaj, he became completely detached from material things. So yes, one becomes completely detached from material conception once there is this sincere repentance as a spirit soul, as being connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the word used here is upashama shila. One is completely detached from a material conception, and one is determined to progress on the path of Krishna consciousness. And the very second thing which Srila Prabhupada mentions in the translation is that Bharat Maharaj, he did not disclose things to anyone. So this is also something very instructive. Bharat Maharaj, you know, he didn't go about broadcasting about himself and posting on Instagram and Facebook and Clubhouse, speaking about himself that, you know, this is what I did and look now what I've thought of myself. You know, this is now there is no chance that I am going to go wrong, and this is how I am planning to go ahead. No. Bharat Maharaj, he didn't disclose his plans of rectification. So sincere repentance is not something to be broadcasted. Sincere repentance is a matter of a heart. It's something that happens within the heart, and the resolve for rectification that one takes is within the heart. And that is how we find Bharat Maharaj, he left his material association, his mother dear, and the Kalanjara mountain, and he moves on to the ashram of Kulasthya and Kulaharishi, seeking spiritual association. So yes, anukulasya sankalpah pratikulasya varjanam. Bharat Maharaj could very well figure out by the mercy of the Lord what went wrong. And this exactly has also been repeatedly highlighted by the acharyas, that how, because Bharat Maharaj was not present in the association of like-minded practitioners, that is why when the moment he started going astray, there was no one around to check him on that. And therefore, having realized this mistake, Bharat Maharaj is repentant about it, and you know, very promptly, very very decisively, Bharat Maharaj, he leaves his family and friends, his mother dear, and Srila Prabhupada writes something very interesting in the purport. He says, one should not be captivated by his birthplace and family. Now, this is something that we should be paying attention to. You know, let's read these lines very, very carefully. Srila Prabhupada is not mentioning that one should not be staying in his birthplace. One should not be staying with his family. No, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning one should not be captivated by his birthplace and family. You know, being captivated goes to show that how one's mental attention is always fixed, you know, in the place of one's birth, or one's mental attention is always present in taking care of the family. No, yes, that may be a requirement, that may be a need, and one will need to do whatever is needed in order to cater to those responsibilities as well. But then, not being 100% being captivated by birthplace and family, and one should take shelter of the association of the devotees and cultivate Krishna consciousness. So many a times we find these golden sentences by Srila Prabhupada giving us a very, very clear road ahead as to how we should be progressing. You know, how should we be keeping our priorities right as a sadhaka, and not being captivated by the material association around, but seeking shelter of the association of devotees and cultivating Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that association is very meaningful. Association of devotees is very, very meaningful in the sense that it helps us achieve the ultimate purpose of this human form of life that all of us have been blessed with. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning about this society, the beautiful society of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and Prabhupada writes that therefore ISKCON tries to perfect one who enters the society. How is it that ISKCON is actually helping people to perfect their lives? In the Nectar of Instruction, also in the translation, the purports to the Nectar of Instruction verses, Srila Prabhupada mentions that we have created the society of devotees, that people in general could come to this society, could come here and associate with the devotees of ISKCON, and thereby receive an opportunity to perfect their own human life. And Prabhupada writes here that the members of this society should always remember that the society is not like a free hotel. Prabhupada makes it very, very clear that as members of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, we have a very, very serious responsibility attached. And that responsibility is Janma Sarthaka Kori Karo Para Upkar. You know, endeavoring very, very sincerely to perfect our own lives. At the same time, being exemplary in our own, as devotees, being exemplary in our behavior, being exemplary in our dealings, being exemplary in our, you know, practices, so that anyone who comes, he finds something higher that he or she has never seen before. And therefore, Prabhupada, he instructs in these purports, he has these instructions for the members of ISKCON, that all the members should be very careful to execute their spiritual duties so that whoever comes will automatically become a devotee. Now, this is something that is very phenomenal, that how becoming a devotee is not a matter of going through, you know, austere practices for years together, or, you know, digging deep into all these Vedas and Upanishads and Puranas and Itihasas, or making bountiful charity and, you know, doing all sorts of austerities and, you know, stuff. No. Just by associating with the devotees, whoever comes will automatically become a devotee, Prabhupada is mentioning. And I guess that has been the case for most of us as well, that how we also got in touch with the Association of Devotees and we benefited. And that is how Prabhupada writes that we'll be able to return back to Godhead in this very life. So Prabhupada is highlighting very strongly the potency of the association, the potency of Vaishnava Sangha, that how if one very sincerely takes shelter of Vaishnava Sangha, one will be definitely able to perfect his life and return back to Godhead in this very life. So yes, this Vaishnava Sangha, this association of devotees helps us in these four different ways. We can remember how you know, the Vaishnava Sangha helps us. So in this word help, the H stands for hope. How Sangha, the association of devotees, gives us hope. Om apavitraha pavitrova sarvavastham gatopiva yah smaret pundrikaksham sa bahya abhyantara suchihi. When we see that, you know, when we see n number of such examples, we see the examples of, you know, so many people who might be leading the lifestyle of a hippie, you know, decades back. And just within a few decades, they have become such exemplary, you know, sincere and exalted devotees of the Supreme Lord, goes to show that how, you know, there is hope for each one of us. That yes, if you know, people like Ajamil, if people like, you know, so many of maybe our own other devotees whom we may be knowing before they're coming to Krishna consciousness, now the kind of lifestyle they were into. And sometimes we find even devotees who may have been introduced to Krishna consciousness many, many years after us, and then taking to the process very sincerely and getting reformed and getting, you know, spearheading on the path of success. And therefore, there is hope for us. So yes, association gives us hope that yes, I'm not practicing this alone. Not just that, it gives us enthusiasm. This help, H stands for hope, E stands for enthusiasm. That yes, I'm not doing it alone. Many are doing, and therefore, so can I as well. So there is, yes, we get enthusiasm in seeing others, you know, distribute books. I mean, those of us who have had this experience of book distribution, we know that the very first time that we went onto the streets with a book in the hand, it looked so embarrassing. You know, just asking someone to buy a book. I mean, you know, we have our own education qualifications, and it may be appearing that, you know, we are just trying to coax someone for some, you know, amount of money. But then when we see so many other devotees, their enthusiasm, and then, you know, as time goes by, we just fearlessly, we are out there and we distribute these books. So yes, enthusiasm is there, and similarly in many other services as well. The third thing is we leverage from the qualities of the other devotees. We also get a leverage. Just like when the birds, they fly a long distance, they always fly in a V formation. Because the birds who are flapping in that V formation, the birds who are ahead and they are flapping, the birds that are behind, they leverage from the pressure that is generated from the birds who are flying ahead of them. So similarly, when the devotees, when we are in the association of, you know, senior devotees, the kind of spiritual ambience that is created by them, the kind of spiritual guidance that is available because of them, the kind of spiritual potency that is there, you know, because of their presence, we also leverage from that potency. We also leverage from that ambience, and we also leverage from, you know, those qualities. And therefore, yes, this leverage is because just by putting in a small amount of endeavor, there is big result. And the Chaitanya Charitamrit mentions that how strength, this leverage that we receive from the other devotees is like a bal, is like a mahabal. And the CC mentioned Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. He mentions, Bhakta Pada Dhuli Ara Bhakta Pada Jal Bhakta Bhukta Avasesha 18 Mahabal. That how one leverages, in how one receives the strength, this leverage in his own spiritual life, just by these three things, Bhakta Pada Dhuli, by receiving the dust from the lotus feet of exalted souls, Ara Bhakta Pada Jal, receive the water that has washed the lotus feet of exalted devotees, and Bhakta Bhukta Avasesha, receiving the remnants that has been, remnants of prasad that has been honored by the exalted devotees of the Lord. These three things have that potency to provide us that leverage to grow in our own spiritual lives. And the last thing that good association, Vaishnava Sangha, gives us is protection. Yes, it awards us protection in times of difficulties, when things, you know, become, when the sea gets rough, as they say. When each of us face difficulties, we know that, yes, there are devotees out there to help us. Or when we may be knowingly or unknowingly committing mistakes, there is protection when we are in association of the devotees. So yes, this help is there. This association provides us this help in terms of hope, enthusiasm, leverage, and protection. And therefore, Sri Narottam Das Thakur, once again, he mentions that Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas Janame Janame Hoye Ei Abhilash. He's praying that what does he desire? What is his aspiration? What is his Abhilasha? And he's mentioning Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas. He's explaining that he has just these two aspirations. Tandera Charana Sevi. I just want to serve your lotus feet, O my dear Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhakta Sanevas, I always desire association of your devotees. I just don't desire anything else. I just need these two things in my life, service to your lotus feet and the association of devotees. And that is what is my prayer. That is what is my aspiration, birth after birth. Janama janama hoi, janame janame hoi, yehi abhilash. This is what Srila Narottam Das Thakur, he prays. So yes, this is the third thing that happens because of sincere repentance. Sincere repentance prompts us to chalk out the steps for rectification. Specifically, it encourages us to seek shelter of the association of the devotees of the Lord. And last but not the least is that sincere repentance actually delivers us from the reactions of all kinds of accidental sins. And we find this from the example of Parikshit Maharaj himself. The first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam explains that when Parikshit Maharaj, you know, is out there hunting, and he starts to feel thirsty, and he comes to the ashram of Samik Rishi, begs for some water, but Samik Rishi is in meditation and he doesn't respond. And Parikshit Maharaj, he sees a dead snake close by, picks up the dead snake, the skin of the dead snake by his arrow, and puts it around the neck of Samik Rishi. And having done this, when Parikshit Maharaj is going back, he is repenting. He is questioning his own actions. And it is mentioned that, Srimad Bhagavatam mentions that the king, being a devotee of the Lord, did not approve of his own action. And thus he began to wonder whether the sage was really in a trance or was just pretending in order to avoid receiving the king, who was a Kshatriya and therefore lower in rank. Repentance comes into the mind of a good soul as soon as he commits something wrong. So yes, Prabhupada is mentioning here in the purport that this is the symptom of a good soul, Prabhupada is writing. Repentance comes into the mind of a good soul as he commits something wrong. It's something interesting to note here that it's not that a good soul can't commit anything wrong. You know, to err is human. That is one of the shortcomings of this human existence, that, you know, because of having these imperfect senses, one tends to get illusion. And because one is perennially in illusion about the reality, one is not aware about the realities, he commits mistakes, he or she commits mistakes. And therefore, yes, it is not that one won't commit any mistake, but then post committing mistake, the symptom of a good soul is that he or she starts to feel repentance about it. Just like we see here in the example of Maharaj Parikshit, that he's not approving of his actions of placing this dead snake around the neck of Samik Rishi. But then he's kind of wondering, did I do it right? You know, what if the sage was actually in trance? And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is kind of blaming himself for his action. And Prabhupada writes here that accidental sins committed by a devotee are sincerely regretted. Now, this is not something about the past life or the period before one got introduced to Krishna consciousness as a sadhaka. Let's talk about in our own context. You know, here this sentence is very much related that even as a sadhaka, even as a spiritual practitioner, if we commit some, you know, some undesirable activity, if there is some accidental sin, as it's mentioned here, accidental sins committed by a devotee are sincerely regretted. And by the grace of the Lord, all sins unwillingly committed by a devotee are burnt in the fire of repentance. So yes, these sins of undesirable activities, they are like this kalmasha. They are like these, you know, impurities. But just like when gold is heated in a very strong fire, these impurities are separated. They just, you know, the impurities, they come out of the gold and pure gold shines forth. So similarly, when there is a strong fire of repentance, post committing some, you know, unwilling, some undesirable act, accidentally, you know, if there is that fire of repentance, you know, Prabhupada is mentioning here, by the grace of the Lord, all sins, all reactions to such activities committed by a devotee are burnt in the fire of repentance. And something similar we find in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is mentioning, that Krishna mentions that api chet su duracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadhu reva samantavya samyag vivasato hi saha. Krishna is saying that api chet su duracharo, even if one falls down to the lowest of abominable activities, and we just discussed the example of Ajamil, you know, even if he was in such a exalted brahminical position, you know, being aware of the, you know, all those scriptures and everything, still the levels to which he fell down was like really condemnable. But then he once again, bhajate mam ananya bhag, the moment he received his second chance, he didn't lose a moment. He went to Haridwar and he perfected his life. And the same we find here in the context of Bharat Maharaj as well. The moment he gets his opportunity, the moment he once again, even though he's in the body of a deer, he realizes this opportunity that how it is his, it is the supreme most prerogative now to seek the shelter of the association of devotees and set things right. And therefore, Krishna is mentioning that, you know, how is it that he will consider such a person, even if a person is completely fallen, api chet suduracharo, but then bhajate mam ananya bhak, you know. And elsewhere, I remember Srila Prabhupada writes somewhere that the solution, the rectification is in the process itself. One need not perform any extraneous endeavor of any karma kanda or jnana kanda or upasana kanda to set things right. Nahin. Rectification is embedded in the process of Krishna consciousness itself. Even though something has gone wrong, you know, bhajate mam ananya bhag, the process remains the same. Once again, you know, let's pick up the bead bag and sincerely cry out for the holy names of the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And when there is that sincere repentance and bhajate mam ananya bhag, Krishna considers such a person to be saintly once again. Bhajate mam ananya bhag, sadhur eva samantavya, samyak vivasito isah. And he says that once again, you know, such a practitioner is reinstated in his platform of devotional service, as we find in the case of Bharat Maharaj. That yes, Bharat Maharaj is once again, we find that at the end of this life, in the form of a deer, he gives up the body of the deer and takes his life as Jada Bharat. And that's how ultimately he goes on to perfect his life. So I'll just summarize what all we discussed today. We started by discussing that how the section of Srimad Bhagavatam explains about Bharat Maharaj's attachment, his avoidance of spiritual duties and acceptance of the body of a deer. And this is just a short punishment that is awarded. And why is it a short punishment? Because even as a deer, he's able to repent. He's able to remember his past. And that's how we saw that this is the symptom of a good soul, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning. This is a symptom of an honest heart, that there is sincere repentance. And we saw these four results, four consequences of sincere repentance in the form of A, B, C, D. A, we discussed how one attracts the mercy of the Lord. We saw the example of Bhishma Dev attracting the mercy of the Lord by feeling repentant about shooting arrows at the Supreme Lord. And we saw the prayers by Narottam Das Thakur, Janiya Suniya Vishakhaini, and praying for Kripa Koro Ebara, once again, please have your mercy upon me. So yes, by sincere repentance, one attracts the mercy of the Lord. The second thing we discussed is that by sincere repentance, one becomes extra careful not to repeat the mistake, not to become dejected, but to become determined. And we saw the example of Ajamil, that how Ajamil is pondering on his past deeds, is pondering on his fallen character, and at the same time, he's determined to take steps. And therefore, we also discussed that sometimes it may be worthwhile to remember, you know, about our own past misdeeds and our own past character, because that will keep us humble. Not to be, again, this just a disclaimer, not to be overly absorbed in our own past life, lest there might be a chance of getting used to those activities once again. But then Yes, just to cultivate this sincere repentance and just to remember, you know, what we were and what we were into, so that we can practice Krishna consciousness with a humble heart, with some humility. So yes, one becomes extra careful. One chalks out steps for rectification, because repentance shouldn't make one more negative, that you know, I'm just a gone case. No. We find that these cases of Srimad Bhagavatam gives us hope that no matter who we are, we can still chalk out our own steps for rectification. We find the example of Bharat Maharaj very promptly taking certain decisions of what could be favorable for his rectification of the mistakes in his past life. And therein we discuss the benefits of good association, benefits of Vaishnava Sangha, in the sense that Vaishnava Sangha helps us, it provides us help, it provides us hope, enthusiasm, leverage from the practicing other devotees, practice of other devotees, and protection. And we find the aspiration as enunciated by Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanivas, desiring service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, and residence in the association of devotees. And how finally we discuss the result of sincere repentance is one is delivered from all reactions of accidental sins that are committed. And we saw the example of Parikshit Maharaj feeling repentant about having placed that dead snake over the neck of Samika Rishi. And Prabhupada, he clarifies that accidental sins committed by a devotee are sincerely regretted. And by the grace of the Lord, all sins unwillingly committed by a devotee are burnt in the fire of repentance. So yes, by on and off cultivating the sincere repentance, definitely will also attract the mercy of the Lord, will become extra careful, will chalk out our own steps for rectification, and will be delivered from the reactions of any kinds of accidental sins that may be committed. With those words, I'll stop here and thank all the people who have gathered here, all the devotees who have come here, that and pray for their blessings, that whatever I have spoken today, maybe I can also implement in my own life, and similarly seek shelter of the association of the devotees of the Lord, and service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So thank you all very much once again. Pancha kalpa prudhyascha kripa sindhu bheva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Unless we have any more questions, we can stop.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the very beautiful class. Very nicely you said many points that are important, and basically the point that we have to desire only for the association and the service to the lotus feet. So that was very inspiring, Prabhuji. Regarding that, I have one small question, that desiring for the service, like for example, desiring for the association is, I can understand. So we always need the association, that desire is there. Wholeheartedly, we relish that time. And taking to be in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. So sometimes we think and we have to do preference, see preference, and sometimes we have to tell, no, I cannot take up this. So that time we are always trying to be in a comfort level. So can you please explain that what is that real service to the lotus feet of Krishna? How we can feel that we are in the path?
Yes, Mataji, that's a very valid question. And just to admit that all of us actually are just work in progress cases only. It's not that even myself, I'm able to make the perfect decision every time. But then definitely when Srila Narottam Das Thakur or Acharyas like him, they are praying for they're desiring the service of the Supreme Lord. You know, one good thing is that by desiring something spiritual, over a period of time, the material desires within our own hearts, they will vanish. And therefore, it is good that many times we have more service before us, so that we can exercise, And definitely, because of practical reasons, we'll have to prefer one service over the other. But then, unfortunate is that situation where, you know, we may not be having any service. So that is what I guess Acharyas like Sri Narottam Das Thakur is, you know, hinting at, is that there should be some engagement, you know, for the mind. And definitely, you know, because like I mentioned, all of us are work in progress cases, you know, because of having these shortcomings within us, definitely there is, the mind is still not completely spiritual, and there could be tendency to seek the comfort level. But I guess by indulging in the service of the Supreme Lord, slowly and gradually the mind also gets accustomed. And it has been the experience of many senior devotees that how by regularly indulging in the service of the Supreme Lord, the mind also slowly but definitely starts getting spiritualized. And therefore, it might be very much be possible that over a period of time, the mind will pull us from the comfort zone to highlight us, to highlight the glory of serving the Supreme Lord. So definitely, it's a journey of the mind as well, from seeking a comfortable position to seeking intense service, being constantly engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. So yes, it's not that all these exalted personalities, we see the example of Srila Prabhupada, you know, how minds of these exalted souls, they're also completely and always wanting to be engrossed in serving the Supreme Lord. So I guess it's a journey, Mataji. It's not an overnight thing that's going to happen. But our desire should be that, yes, whether this, it could be this service or that service, there should be some service at least. And we should be aspiring to constantly improve the quality and, if possible, the quantity of the service that we are engaging in. I guess that's all my understanding speaks of.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yes, it helps. And also by, as you said, by the prayers and all that, we will be able to progress. The mind can be able to come to that platform. Thank you. Hare Krishna, if you have any questions or comments, you can ask now.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you so much for a wonderful class. And thank you, Bhargavi Mataji, for asking that question, because that was very valuable for me, at least. I'm very grateful for your answer, Prabhu. I have just a few questions. One's a quick one. When you mentioned about the leverage that we get from association, there was a word that you used, maha something. Do you remember?
Mahabal. Mahabal.
Mahabal.
Yeah. Sources of strength. Sources of strength. Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions. Bala is strength. Mahabal is, you know, great strength. So that great strength lies in these three sources. Bhakta Pada Jhuli, Bhakta Pada Jal, Bhakta Bhakti Pada Pesha. Just from the lotus feet of... Yeah, dust from the lotus feet of exalted devotees, the water that has washed the lotus feet of exalted souls, and the remnants of prasad honored by exalted devotees of the Lord. And like I also mentioned that when we are in the association of devotees, we also leverage from their understanding. We also leverage from the spiritual ambience that is created because of their presence. Just like we find that when Srila Prabhupada was personally present here on earth during the period 1969 to 77, you know, the kind of ambience that was present, that was the kind of fervor that was present in the society, and you know, which kind of took a slightly a different picture, you know, later on. But then, so definitely when we are with such exalted great souls, we also leverage from their presence. We also leverage from their devotion in our own lives.
Thank you.
I guess that helps.
Yes, that was amazing. Thank you. Thank you.
And
I have just two more questions that
yeah, please.
That we devotees always ask in class, but I just want to ask again for my own reassurance. So one of the things that you said when you were at the end, when you were talking about how it's said that by our sincere regret that our misdeeds will be burned up in the fire of that. And my question was about specifically, accidental mistakes is what you said, yes. And my question is about aparad, because we're also told that with aparad, there are certain steps that we should take, like, you know, being sincerely apologizing and serving the devotee that we have offended. However, again, if it's accidental and, you know, I just wanted to know how that connected to what you said, like having a sincere regret, you know, because sometimes we do things accidentally. And then, like you said, you know, further on, we realize what we've done and we do regret it sincerely. Do we need to take those extra steps and go back to the devotee that we have offended?
Yeah, definitely. I think the episode of Ambarish Maharaj really helps us understand this particular context as to how, you know, when Durvasa Muni, he, you know, felt that, you know, something had gone wrong and there was this, you know, chakra, this disc of the Supreme Lord following him. And he was like traveling everywhere, all over the universe. Mm-hmm. And that's how he was advised that, you know, you will need to seek shelter of, you know, someone whom you have offended. So in that particular context, Srila Prabhupada gives us a lot of clue as to, yes, being in this material world, we cannot expect ourselves to be perfect. In this entire creation, only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, only he is the supremely perfect person. Other than him, everyone is imperfect. I guess even the gopis of Vrindavan, they blamed the Lord Brahma to be imperfect in his creation because he had created these eyelids. I mean, can you imagine someone could be held responsible for such a task, for creating eyelids because of which the gopis, their darshan of Krishna was obstructed for a nimisha, for a 1/12 of a second that way. So yes, definitely there are bound to be mistakes, but then if we learn from our mistakes, I think that is what is more important, that we don't repeat them. So yes, even in this verse, the Apichetsu Duracharo verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada explains that if the offense or if the aparad or if the sinful activity is not something that is pre-planned, is not something that is very, very systematically, you know, orchestrated and well thought of, you know, if it just happens, you know, because of the mind getting into the modes of passion or ignorance, you know, that is when, and that is followed by sincere repentance, as we discussed in many of the cases today. That is when we attract the mercy of the Lord, and it is because of the mercy of the Lord that there is improvement. It's not because of the repentance per se, but it is because of the mercy that gets attracted because of feeling, you know, repentant about, you know, what our deeds, our character. So I guess it's that mercy of the Lord which actually helps us move forward that way. I guess that helps you somewhat.
Yes, very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
And I have one more question. It may be
you mentioned you had. So yeah, please go on. Yeah.
Okay. So you also, again, talking, this is something that always comes up, but when you were talking about how, you know, as jivas, we fell from the spiritual world originally. However, if we practice, you know, sincerely practice devotional service, and as Srila Prabhupada said, we can go back in this lifetime, go back to Godhead. how, and I know that Krishna says it in Bhagavad Gita many, many times in the 8th chapter, 7th chapter, that, you know, without a doubt, we will go back to him. But what is our reassurance that we won't fall back again, since it's already happened to us? You know, how do we know?
This is also being explained, and the example is given of a child, that just like a child is told repeatedly, don't put your finger in the fan, the table fan that's rotating, but because of obstinacy, the child puts the finger and he gets a cut. You know, there is this big noise and, you know, he gets this cut and he gets the lesson. Once he gets the lesson, he won't do it again. So something similar. You know, once one has got this lesson, you know, there is definitely the chance that one will be, you know, once again. And Srila Prabhupada, more important than that, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that while you are in a troublesome situation, don't worry about, you know, what is happening in the world outside. If you are in prison, behave in the prison in a manner, perform your acts in the prison in such a manner that you get out. Mm-hmm. If someone inside a prison is discussing about, you know, crime in the outside world and the news and everything, so that won't make sense. That doesn't make sense. And therefore, the responsibility, the prime responsibility, is to first get out of the prison. And then, you know, how things are there in the outside world will be gradually revealed to us. But many times, there are many devotees even who fall into this trap. Hey, your logic is not perfect. You know, you say that, you know, because of a mistake, you came back here, and you, once having gone there, you won't come back. You know, so this doesn't. So the point is, the more we start applying logic into spiritual realities, it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. You can't understand spiritual realities by material logic. And that is where, you know, with a material mindset, when we try to understand these phenomena, that is when we err. That is when we go wrong. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, if we repose our faith in the words of the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, I think that is what is our prime responsibility, that we count on their words, that they are here not to cheat us. The words of the Shastras, the word of the Supreme Lord, the words of the Acharyas, but then they are there to help us. And therefore, whatever is mentioned by the Guru, by the Shastras, by the Acharyas, they are for our benefit. And instead of questioning them, if we can just follow them with all our heart and soul, I guess that is where our ultimate, welfare lies in. Hope that helps you with your understanding.
Yes, that was wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you for such an instructive class. It was so lovely to be in your class today, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Do we have any more questions by any other devotees?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Rajiv, Arora, Prabhuji, you can go ahead with the question.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat
Pranam. Prabhuji, my question is, at various places when you're
so
listening...
May I have your darshan also? That's easier.
Haribol.
Switch on your video. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam.
Haribol. Dandavat Pranam.
Please go ahead with your question. My
question is... at many places we see that when Vyasji has brought various points, when either a person is thinking, or in today's class you mentioned what a deer is thinking, who is actually a Bharat Maharaj in the form of a deer. So my question is, how Vyasji was able to get this data from the thought process of a person, or even at an animal, you know? So was he the kind of a super soul sitting in every jivas, human being and animal? That's why he was able to bring it? Or he tried to focus certain thing and collect the data and bring into the Bhagavatam? That is my doubt, Prabhuji.
So very nice question, Prabhuji. And if you study the life of Srila Vyasadeva, when we understand about his identity, Srila Vyasadeva is none other but the literary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, a Shaktya Vesha avatar. The Supreme Lord has different types of incarnations, you know, Purusha avataras, Guna avataras, Leela avataras, and also Shakti Avesha avatar for achieving a specific purpose. So when that Supreme Personality of Godhead, he takes a literary incarnation to provide the populace in general with the Shastric injunctions. You know, that is when the Supreme Lord, he is very well able to describe the mindset of different personalities. He is able to very well describe the activities of the past, the activities of the present, as well as the activities of the future. And we see so many of such compilations. We find the composition of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is like essentially upon being instructed by Narad Muni, Srila Vyasadeva has compiled. And therein, he's also explaining about what's going to happen ahead in Kali Yuga. So that goes to show that how Srila Vyasadeva is actually Trikala Darshi. He's able to see the past, present and future. And he's also able to understand and present the mindset of all these different personalities. And Srila Sukadeva Goswami, being blessed by Srila Vyasadeva, he also has that vision. And that's how we understand that, yes, Srila Vyasadeva is not an ordinary, you know, person, just like authors of, you know, modern day, someone just has a nice, good English and, you know, they feel qualified, they feel themselves qualified to comment on the Bhagavad Gita or comment on the Ramayana and Mahabharata, even without, you know, taking an inventory. Do they have these qualities of being able to understand others' mindset, of being able to see properly the past, present and future? But Srila Vyasadeva is not one of those authors. Srila Vyasadeva is the literary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And therefore, when we read the compositions of Srila Vyasadeva, they are a Paurushya. They don't have the impurities, they don't have the imperfections of an ordinary human being. These ordinary perfections, as we have heard, the four imperfections that are there, the imperfect senses, the tendency to get illusion, tendency to commit mistakes, and the propensity to cheat. So these imperfections are not present in a personality like Vyasadeva. And therefore, his compositions are a Paurushya. I guess that helps you with some understanding, Prabhu.
Yes, yes, Prabhu. Yes, you were able to explain very nicely, understood. One follow-up question. You said that, yes, Naraji gave instruction to Vyasadeva to write this.
Yeah.
Now, since Vyasji was itself a kind of one of the incarnation, right?
Yeah.
So how come Naraji instructed Vyasji about it?
I would advise you, Prabhu, go through the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole episode. And why could this happen is very beautifully explained in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In short, the answer is yes, Srila Vyasadeva is definitely the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then the purpose of his incarnation is to also, you know, prove something, is to bring out the Srimad Bhagavatam into light and to establish the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Vyasadeva, knowingly, he takes a position of an ignorant soul. That yes, he has written so many compositions on dharma, artha, kama and moksha. But Narad Muni, he points that you have not exclusively glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why you are feeling this dissent within your heart. Just like Arjuna, although Arjuna was a very exalted devotee, a very pure devotee of the Lord, but still, he takes up just like an actor on a stage. He takes up that position of an ignorant soul so that Bhagavad Gita could be revealed. So similarly, Srila Vyasadeva, he takes the position, he plays the role of a quote-unquote ignorant personality so that Srimad Bhagavatam could be brought to light.
Okay.
More on this, maybe you can go through the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
So things are explained in much more detail over there. But thank you very much for that beautiful question, Prabhuji.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for answering.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Dandut Pranam.
I guess, shall we stop here, Bhargavi Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the very, very beautiful class. And really, we are thankful for all of you, for all Brahmacharis and Maharaj coming and giving. You are taking so much time to prepare all this, and you are giving like small, small tips so that we can easily take it and progress in our spiritual life. You have given your life for all of us. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. We are really grateful to hear from all of you daily. Thank you, Prabhuji. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu patita nam yo vaishnava koti vaishnava ki jai shrimad bhagavatam ki jai prabhu pad ki jai shri chaitanya lila prabhu ji ki jai hare krishna
hare krishna thank you so much prabhu ji for the wonderful class
thank you prabhu ji hare krishna